This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Hoops Guru Aaron Beach. It has been a busy couple of weeks, couple of months with the basketball program, with a lot of transfers out and two new assistant coaches hired and a bunch of new guys brought in. You know, Aaron, just first of all, with the guys that they let go, house cleaning, gutting it, whatever you want to call it, was it needed?
Absolutely. Despite the justifiable panic from Husky fans, they've completely rebooted the roster and they've pretty much upgraded at every position, including the coaching staff. So yeah, huge win. Totally needed. You know, they've grown, they've got more athletic. I'm sure we'll go into this, but I mean, I'm fired up. This is exactly what they needed to do to, you know, restore the program's momentum, and they've done it. So yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah, it was just a bad roster, bad fit for the system he wanted to do, bad personalities, just a lot of dysfunction, a lot of players just not knowing their roles, and even if they didn't know their role, didn't adapt to it, chemistry issues and everything, and, you know, everybody wants to play the blame game. Yeah, it's on Hop. Yeah, I mean, if now what, you know? So it looks as though he's fixed the problem. And, you know, the first thing was, you know, with the two new coaches on the staff, Cameron Dollar wanting to go in a different direction, Dave Rice let go. But, you know, the first ball to drop on that assistant tree was Wyking Jones, which I think is a huge get.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, he just got a taste of the head coaching experience at Cal. You know, and when he was just there for a split second and then gone. And so he's been there. He's been to the mountain, but he didn't really get to do anything with it. He was a hell of a recruiter in the brief time he was there. You know, he got some commitments from some big names, Jaylen Brown, Ivan Rabb, you know, five-star guys. So he's got a lot of experience recruiting that kind of talent. You know, the thing is that the Pacific Northwest, which very much includes the Bay Area, Northern California, is really kind of where the program needs to live. You know, I always felt that going to New York, even though they brought in a couple of solid guys, kind of a reach. And frankly, if you can just live in the Pacific Northwest area, I think the program can thrive. And so Jones was, you know, that's why he was hired, was to restore that recruiting credibility here in the Northwest region.
Yeah. And I think the big part about Wyking Jones is he's a big man himself, and no disrespect to Cameron Dollar, but Cameron's a point guard and he was the guy working with the bigs. Now the bigs have a guy working with them that they can look in the eye, who understands the position, who's played the position. And, you know, when we've seen the last few years, the bigs just haven't developed in a manner that you would like. And when you take a look at Nate Roberts, he just looked lost at times. And I think this hire will do wonders for Nate Roberts.
Yeah, agreed. And you're absolutely right. When you look at Hamir, Roberts, even Riley, you didn't see a lot of offensive development in particular. And so I expect to see a ton of growth in that regard. You know, with these guys, they're bringing in some high quality impact talent, you know, with a lot of athletic tools that Washington hasn't had in the last couple of, well, I guess since Stewart, at any rate. I'm excited to see what we can do with them.
When I first heard the name Quincy Pondexter being mentioned for a possible job as an assistant coach, I just kind of wondered, okay, is he ready yet? But the more I dove into it and seen what he's been doing down in the Fresno area and down on in the Vegas area, and talking to a lot of people about what he's been doing and where he wants to go, I'm pretty excited about hiring of Quincy, not just because he has the UW ties, but boy, I think he's going to be an up and comer before you know it.
Well, he's got the right personality. That was the first thing I thought of was, you know, and obviously Romar was his mentor and, you know, they share a lot of similarities. So I see in Quincy a lot of those same traits, forgetting the whole, you know, ex-Husky aspect, as you said, sitting in a living room and conveying all the things that he's endured, all the hardships, and how he's persevered through it. I think it's just going to be such a powerful message on the recruiting front. And, you know, that's where his focus is going to be at the start, right? As he's cutting his teeth in that, you know, as an assistant coach, he's going to be a recruiting bulldog. And I think he's got a powerful message to share.
Well, he told me, you know, he spent hundreds of thousands of his own money on development programs down in, you know, Las Vegas and down in the Fresno area. And, you know, he found Jalen Green, you know, one of the top players in the country when he was an eighth grader, developed him to one of the premier talents. Jaden Hardy is a Quincy Pondexter guy. He's had a lot of guys come through that program. So, you know, his ability to develop talent, while you may think he doesn't have the experience at the college level, he's been getting it done developing talent down in Fresno and Vegas.
Well, he's a grinder. I mean, the guy works his tail off. And he was always known that way at Washington, you know, whether it would be studying tape or working out, you know, late into the night, he's that guy. And so I've got to believe that that's going to translate really well to demonstrating the grind, demonstrating the commitment to do what it takes. I mean, he was a talented guy, but he wasn't the most talented guy when he came in at Washington. Had a good freshman season, but he certainly wasn't a one and done guy, even if he considered it. But he, you know, he worked his butt off to improve, and he grew as a player, and his body matured. And he was working tirelessly to grow, and it paid off, and he can show exactly what he did. This is my blueprint. This is what I did to, you know, to become a factor in the NBA, and not just to get drafted, but to stay. He was in the league for 9 years, even enduring those long-term injuries, and they still found enough value in him to keep him around. So I think that's a testament to him more than anything. You know, the NBA just doesn't hand out, you know, millions of dollars in contracts for guys that they don't think are worth it and won't put in the time.
I've never talked to a guy on the phone or done an interview with a guy who displayed three emotions all at once. His level of excitement was off the charts when I talked to him. He was incredibly humbled to be hired by the University of Washington. He was also highly emotional. And he talked about, you know, when Coach Hop offered him the job, how tears started rolling down his face because he was just, I mean, the emotions just poured out of him. And he says, then Coach Hop started to cry. So when you have a guy with that much passion, you know, I always call Will Conroy Coach Passion, but he may need to step aside for Quincy.
Well, you and I both spent a lot of time around Quincy, and those three things you just described, I mean, that's him. Like that's who he is. He's passionate and humble at the same time and super fiery and very competitive. But, you know, somehow he brings it all together in this lovable, charismatic package. And, you know, he's going to be such a big factor. You know, he's got long-term, he's a potential head coaching candidate, in my opinion.
I was talking to Quincy about my two all-time favorite Quincy moments. And one of them was with you, and he just joined the team as a freshman, and him and Adrian Oliver showed up to Heck Ed with bike helmets on them, bicycles. And they looked like two of the nerdiest kids I've ever seen. Remember though? Remember that?
Yep. I do.
We're just looking at them going, what the hell? And then,
yep.
And then my next favorite was Open Gym. And he caught an elbow from John Brockman and knocked four of his teeth back. And John's just smiling. And Quincy's bleeding all over the place. And he's going, it's not funny, John. It's not funny, John.
So. Well, that wasn't Brockman's fault. I mean, let's be real. Quincy went up and tried to dunk on him in John's house. It's disrespectful. can't do it. And yeah. He paid a price. Yeah. That was, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite moments, but it's definitely one of my most memorable moments of Quincy.
We were laughing. We shouldn't have been.
Yes, we were.
But we were definitely laughing. But all of a sudden, Beach, this roster has really taken on an interesting look. You know, yesterday with the addition of Dejon Davis, it may have been the missing piece of what they really needed.
Yeah, he was the guy, in my opinion. He's the one that they needed to get to take them from being an improvement next season to a competitor, to competing, not necessarily for a Pac-12 title, because I think the conference is stacked, but I think we're now talking, you know, we're competing for 2022 wins and a potential NCAA tournament berth. That's the jump. You know, it's hard to go from 5 wins to 20 wins, right? I mean, that's a pretty big leap. But I think in a lot of ways, the stars have aligned with the transfer portal, enabling Hopkins to truly reboot things and bring in that level of talent that, you know, was clearly missing last season.
Well, what's interesting is the two guys that seem to be the ringleaders right now, and the guys that just seem, when I've talked to them and the stories I've heard, the guys that seem most determined, the guys that are most motivated, the guys, and you get sick of hearing the term chip on their shoulders, but there's some anger right now amongst this local basketball team. And it's all seemed to be led by Terrell Brown and Emmett Matthews. And those two seem to be the ringleader in bringing guys back home. You know, and then with Will Conroy constantly tweeting out, you know, don't turn your back on your city, you know, put the city on your back. And I'm telling you, the things I'm hearing about Emmett Matthews and Terrell Brown, those guys aren't, those guys are taking no prisoners right now.
Well, so there's some similarities in, you know, those two guys you mentioned, and then also Davis. And I think they're probably three things, or it's one thing that I think makes this team a dramatically upgraded group versus last year. And that's the fact that all three of them are really elite defenders, you know, in their own ways. You know, they're all three of them very different players. Terrell is kind of the floor general. And the thing that is great about bringing Terrell in and bringing him first, he was really the glue that held those rotary squads, which included Dejon and Jalen Noel, right, in the backcourt. It was Terrell that was the one who was running the show. And so he's got so much history, you know, leading teams, being the captain, setting guys up. He's unselfish. You know, he's not going to be a guy that scores 15 points a game, and Washington doesn't need that out of him. They need, you know, a guy that can come in and be a leader, score 10 to 12 points a game, distribute the ball, play wicked defense, and be an example and really the motor that propels the team. So, you know, there's in those three guys, all local guys, I think Washington and Hopkins is making a statement that we're focused on here. This is how we're going to get things done moving forward. And it's a great message to send to, you know, the entire basketball community in Seattle in the Northwest.
When I talked to Dejon yesterday, I talked to him about Terrell, and him and Terrell are actually cousins, not like cousins like a lot of people say, but no, they're true blood cousins, and they've been playing together for a long time. And, you know, if talking to Dejon, it sounds like you bring the ball up, I bring the ball up, I play the one, you play the two, we'll switch it up every time. And there's no ego involved with those two guys. They just kind of tag team you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of going to be the case with the whole squad, including in that. That's the guys that remain from last season. I mean, if you look at Jamal Bey, that's how he plays. He's unselfish. And maybe this allows him, now that he's got, you know, a couple guys who can do the dirty work, you know, getting into the paint and driving and dishing and setup, maybe that allows him to be comfortable in that, you know, in that 3-point shooting role, right? That 3-and-D role, which I think is a much better fit for him than trying to do it all, which is what he was doing last season.
Well, the guy that I'm really excited about is Emmett Matthews, you know, and I've been burning up the phone lines for a long time. You know, Emmett comes from West Virginia, and he played for Bob Huggins. And Bob Huggins, you know, from probably a second or third hand source, told Mike Hopkins that every night Emmett steps on the court, he will be the best defensive player on the court at 6'7", 210, 215 pounds. And I heard another story that Langston Wilson, you know, the big that they got the commitment from, the number two JC player in the country, you know, and I got this from a friend of Emmett's, that when Langston called Mike Hopkins to commit, he said, Emmett told me that if I come to Washington, we'll be the best defensive team in the country. Is that true? And Hopkins acknowledged that. And Wilson said, I'm coming then. So that's the kind of mentality that they're bringing in. But Emmett Matthews, you know, if you take a look and follow him on Instagram and Twitter, he's been working guys on social media pretty hard.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not an Instagram guy, but yeah, you're right. I love the pride that these guys are taking. And it seems to be that their focus is in the right places, which is building team and focused on, you know, the importance of defense. And those kind of things to me are what you want to see from these guys. It's not like they didn't bring in a guy who's going to score 20 points a game, right? And at this point where Washington's at, I'm not sure that's what you want. I think you want to restore the team chemistry, you know, the team atmosphere. And I think they've got the right guys to do that.
When you take a look at the bigs, which is what they really lacked last year, they're bringing in Langston Wilson, who's 6'9 with a 41-inch invert. Pretty raw, but he seems to be doing a great job down in – he's down in Vegas working out, and he looks exciting, to say the least. Nate Roberts, I'm excited for Nate because he's finally going to be working with the bigs coach. So it'll be interesting to see how Wyking Jones is able to develop those two. And then the guy that nobody's not talking about, you know, the McDonald's All-American and Jackson Grant, who's 6'10". And I think all three of those guys can play anywhere along the bottom of the zone. And then, you know, you really want to get crazy, throw one of those guys out at the top of the zone as well at times.
Well, so there's a lot of versatility, right? Hopkins is going to do a lot of things based on whatever the games are throwing at him. But I can't wait to see Wilson. You know, I've watched enough, you know, video now to, you know, the guy can jump. So I do know that. He looks like he's an energy guy that's going to get put back dunks and you know, get up and down the floor in a hurry. So I'm not going to pretend to know a whole lot about him. You can't really take, you know, stats from JC and you correlate them to really anything at the D1 level. But that being said, the guy sure seems to have a nice skill set. He's got lots of tools. And the fact that he's not going to be sitting in the paint the whole time, that he's going to be out on a wing or out on down the baseline in the corners, you know, defending in that way. I mean, Washington's going to be tough to score on. That's what it looks like to me.
A couple of interesting notes on Wilson. His dad played at Villanova. His dad also played for the Harlem Globetrotters, which is kind of unique in its own way. Wilson was unable to play high school basketball because of a medical condition that he seems to have overcome. But just some of the stories about the work ethic of this kid when he was like 13, 14 years old, he was going around the neighborhood getting jobs of shoveling people's driveways. And he would actually have them sign contracts, employment contracts to shovel their driveways. He was had a job when he was 16 years old. So he's got the work ethic. And when you talk to him, you know, we've been doing this long enough, Beach, where when you talk to a kid, you can tell whether he's got it or not, if he's a knucklehead or not, or if it's a high character human being. But when I was talking to Langston Wilson, it was very, very similar to when I was talking with Isaiah Stewart. And if that gives you any indication of the type of personality he is, I think Washington found a dream, you know, found a gem in Wilson.
Man, that's great to hear. You know, and I guess to touch on something that we overlooked and that you'd mentioned was Jackson Grant. Oh, yeah. So they bring in a McDonald's All-American, right? He's kind of the gem of the recruiting class. And what this is going to allow him to do is rather than being forced into a situation where he has to be the guy out of the gate, now he's going to get to develop at the pace that Jackson Grant needs to develop at, because everyone, that's different for everyone. And I know he's got a lot of work to do in his body. So now rather than having to start and be pressured into being your, you know, first or second option, now he can develop properly at whatever pace that is for him. And long-term for both the program and for him, that is absolutely the best thing that could have happened.
You know, talking to, you know, Jackson Grant, when I did another example, and, you know, I'm seeing more and more of this. Jackson Grant is a guy that when I talked to really expressed his desire to be here, you know, where some of the other guys on last year's roster, yeah, I'm here, whatever. But these guys are deeply passionate. Jackson Grant's wanted to be at Washington for a long, long time, you know, and Emmett Matthews coming back home. And if you read the interview I did, you know, with Emmett, just the struggle about being away from home and finally being back home. And I talked to Dejon Davis. I didn't put this out, but I told you about it. Dejon's pretty tight with his mom, to say the least. And when I called Dejon yesterday, he was glad to hear from me, but he said, can I call you back in like an hour? I'm just cooking breakfast with my mom. I said, well, what are you making? And he said, pancakes, bacon, eggs, and grits. And he goes, and if I don't do the grits just right, they won't turn out right. So he's really happy to be back home. Terrell Brown, of course, is thrilled to be back home. And, you know, PJ Fuller still hanging out there into the transfer portal. So we'll see if they can bring PJ Fuller back into the fold as well. And he would be a definite piece that would add to it. What is he, 6'6", Aaron?
Yep, 6'6", and kind of a combo guard. He's really at ease both, you know, playing off ball as well as, you know, running point when he needs to. So he'd be a huge pickup. And the thing is, if you look at these guys, and Fuller's right in there, but basically everyone outside of Terrell Brown is a size increase, you know, by 2 or 3 inches at every position. And I don't know about you last year, Kim, but Fetters and I talked about this in a previous pod, was that when you looked at Washington's team last year, it didn't look like the team. It certainly didn't look like anything we'd ever seen at Syracuse, right? They're just small. Everyone's small. And you're like, well, this is a zone. Everyone should be long and athletic and big. And it just like a USC roster that we're accustomed to seeing. That was, you know, and now all of a sudden that's what Washington has. So from a dimensions perspective, from measurables and all that, they've gotten so much better, and not just better from, you know, a size perspective, but from a fit perspective, right? Because it's not just size and length, it's athleticism too. They've got high skill guys. So it's like in every way that they needed to grow and improve, they did.
I'm projecting a starting lineup with Dejon Davis and Terrell Brown at the top. Mm-hmm. Emmett Matthews, Jamal Bey, and Nate Roberts down below. And you take a look at, you know, Davis is long, Matthews is long, Bey is long, Roberts is long. And then you can bring off the bench a guy like Jackson Grant, who's 6'10", Wilson, who's incredibly long at 6'9". We haven't even talked about Cole Bajima, who really came on at the end of last year at 6'8". And I know that they're really excited about Cole. You know, he just brings an energy. He doesn't quit. I was kind of laughing, you know, with Will a couple months ago, telling him, I think your team was last in the nation about being able to get loose balls, because it seemed like they had a bunch of guys who didn't want to get hit in the mouth. But this group, they don't mind getting hit in the mouth. And Cole Bajima, I mean, he's all over the place.
Well, yeah, you know, so now it's going to be a lot harder to account for a guy like Bajima, because you're focused on the other disruptors, and there's several. Where before, you know, last season you had Quad A and Stevenson, who were really your only real disruptors, I guess Marcus from time to time. So to me, it brings dividends and benefits across the board, and allows these guys to embrace the things that they do well. And I'm talking about Bajima, I'm talking about Bey, you know, where they have skills, they have abilities that, because they were kind of forced into a role where they had to do everything, that didn't necessarily allow their best to shine. And I think that's going to be different this season.
Did Jamal Bey lead the conference in 3-point shooting last year?
Well, he was heading into the end of the season. I didn't look at the final stats, but he was up around 50% heading into the final, you know, into the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's saying where the bucket's going to come from. And, you know, I think Terrell Brown is a guy who can score. I think Dejon is a guy who can score. Jamal Bey has proven he can score. But I think that you're going to see a lot more balanced attack, where you're going to, you know, see leading scorer, you know, be 14, 15 points a game. And you're going to have a bunch of guys in that 10 to 15 point range. And you're not going to have that one guy who's going to have 25 every night that you need to depend on. But the one thing that kind of raised my eyes last night was out on Twitter. A guy, is it Jason Williams? Is that who it was? Why am I spacing on the name all of a sudden?
Oh,
Bryson Williams. Yes. God, I couldn't remember that. Bryson Williams is a 6'8", 230-pound, you know, power forward, can play the post, and he looks like Noah Dickerson.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I watched a ton of UTEP last season, but with those kind of body, with that kind of body, you could see where that would fit. I mean, 200, he's a tank. And yeah, Noah, it sounds like a really good comparison. He put up numbers. I saw that.
15-7.
Yep.
15-7.
Yeah, and there's also a transfer from Arizona that I saw was kind of making the rounds too.
By the way, guess where Bryson Williams is from?
Where?
Fresno.
Oh, well, okay.
He's a Quincy guy. He's a Quincy guy. But 15-7, and the other thing is he'd be a one-year guy. He was a fifth year this year at UTEP, so he'll be an older six-year guy. And bringing in a guy like that, great low post scorer. I mean, he's got that low post game like, you know, NBA or Noah. And boy, I think that's what they've been missing, you know, that low post scoring. And he's a guy who could definitely score down low in the post. So that's a guy who really opened my eyes, seeing that he had a Zoom call last night with Mike Hopkins and Will Conroy. Oh, no, yeah. Mike Hopkins and Quincy, excuse me.
Well, there's definitely a need for one more big. At this point, with the way the transfer portal has changed everything, I think you can feel a bit more confident taking flyers on one-year guys like Davis, like Terrell, like Bryson, you know, guys like that, because especially when you're a program, whether it be Washington or anyone else, it's in transition mode, which Washington is, it's going to be a lot easier to address, you know, the deficiencies in a fast and a quick manner, as long as you have balance, you know what I mean? Because the trap is that you bring in a ton of 6-year or 5th-year guys, and all of a sudden you're in this cycle and doing it every year. But, you know, the truth is, it's working at Oklahoma. Dana Altman's he's more or less made a career out of it down at Oregon. So it's not like it can't be done.
USC.
And work.
USC
is another one. Yep. So anyway, I think at the very least, it's a great transitional strategy, even if I don't love it for the long term for the program.
Yeah. You know, and just Emmett Matthews got 2 years. Dejon's only got a year. I'd like to get 2 years out of Dejon, but that's not going to happen. But they're bringing in some of those guys. But, you know, right now they've got two spots left. Would you be disappointed if they filled this out with Bryson Williams and PJ Fuller?
No, home runs. I don't really know that much about Williams, but looking from a statistical perspective and they fill for a need, absolutely great. And Fuller, you know, there are a lot of people that thought Fuller had NBA upside when he was here in Seattle as a prep. So he's got that kind of at least perceived talent, even if it didn't show up, you know, so far in his college career. But it's definitely there.
Yeah, he didn't put up great numbers down at Texas A&M, but I think with this type of program, it's definitely something that he could flourish in. And then coming back home, I think, is going to be a big deal, you know. So, and we'll keep an eye on PJ Fuller over the next week. So, it's been crazy, Beach. I mean, I took a look back in the entire month of December. I think it was December 4th until like the first week of January. They didn't have a win. They were winless. I mean, they went over a month without a win.
Yes, it was sadness. I turned off games earlier, you know, right after the start of the second half, more times in December than I think any time period, you know, any previous, you know, probably all the seasons combined leading up to that. So that was just awful. I'm so, and I know everyone else is too, where everyone's so glad to put that in the past and let's forget about it. It was COVID 2020. Leave it in the past. We're moving forward now. And Washington's got all kinds of good things happening.
All right. Anything to wrap it up with, Beach? You got any final comments, final thoughts?
Oh, no, man. I'm excited to get out into the old, go watch some recruits and get out as the AAU schedule starts to settle and tournaments start booking up I'm here to get out there and go see some of the next generation of young guys here in the Northwest.
Yeah, just people I've talked to, just by the way, the guy that everybody's just happy to have back, and of everybody I talk to, you mentioned this guy's name and everybody smiles, and that's Dejon Davis. Yeah. That kid has
one of my favorite kids to cover, Kim. One of my favorites ever. I mean, Quincy's right up there too, but I watched Davis from, I guess, eighth grade on. You know, I've seen him probably as a prep 100 times between Rotary and Garfield. He's an amazing kid. And, you know, he's the kind of kid that, I guess he's not a kid anymore, but he's the kind of guy that Washington, you know, wants, you know, as a steward and, you know, as a representative of the program.
Everybody loves that kid. Everybody loves Dejon Davis. And yep. I'm just thinking about how crazy it's going to be when the dog pack, you know, the first game, how crazy is that going to be come October?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. So anyways, hey, for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Reynolds along with Aaron Beach. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.